cockroaches are gross. They're vile, disgusting. They love filth, and they spread it. They give people nightmares, and the heebie-jeebies. If you're not wigged out yet, imagine this, a cyborg cockroach. That's the subject of today's All Tech Considered. A team of scientists at Texas A&M University sees the roach as a potential hero and the first animal that humans might be able to turn into a robot. A robot that can go just about anywhere. NPR's Aarti Shahani has this report from the Roach Laboratory in College Station, Texas.
This is not for the faint of heart.
So this room is the cockroach room. That's where they live.
Professor Hong Liang opens the door, and I follow her into a small room with hundreds, maybe thousands, of cockroaches.
So they're all here. They're hiding.
It's dark in here, the way they like it. And if you're quiet, you can hear them squirming, chewing. Her colleague, Professor S. Bradley Vinson, reaches into a plastic container where roaches are hiding between wood chips, and he searches for one with his bare hand.
There's one nice cockroach.
Holy, that's huge!
It's 2 inches long and 1 inch wide, with a hard black and gold shell. Vinson turns it upside down, and its 6 legs kick around, the hairy, prickly spines searching for something to clasp onto.
They don't bite.
This breed from Latin America is slower than the ones you might see crawling under your refrigerator, but also much stronger.
This is probably one of the larger roaches and could pick up, you know, you put a heavier pack on it and it would be the ideal starting point for all this.
A pack, as in a backpack. More on that soon. Vincent is an entomologist, an insect expert. Liang is a mechanical engineer. And the point of all this is to build the perfect cockroach cyborg, an animal that can crawl into tiny holes and around jagged edges with recording equipment, maybe for surveillance, or if there's an earthquake and a building crashes, Liang says, deploy them to the second floor for search and rescue.
So when they reach there, they can work as a vehicle. If they can carry any sensors, like cameras, they can collect information for us.
Her team recently had a breakthrough. Since at least the 1990s, scientists around the world have been trying to control the movement of roaches by planting electrodes into their antennae and sending little shocks. Make them think a predator is coming from the left, so go right. Problem is, roaches stop listening.
Yeah, they're pretty smart.
PhD student Carlos Sanchez.
And in addition to that, like in the wild, they lose their antenna pretty frequently anyway, so they learn to adapt to survive without using an antenna.
Texas A&M switched up the placement of the electrodes, putting them into the little brain that controls the roach's front legs. That way, the shock forces the roach to lose balance and move in the direction desired. Liang says now the roach is following commands about 60% of the time. The other 40, it does nothing or moves in the wrong direction.
The goal is 100%. We are confident we're going to reach there.
Next door, the roaches get outfitted with those backpacks we mentioned. Sanchez, the student, sprays carbon dioxide gas on a roach to put it to sleep.
Usually it'll flip over.
It curls up, like in the fetal position. He uses an acupuncture needle to puncture the mini brain and insert electrodes.
One would go in this location and one about right here.
Does it hurt?
No, I don't think so. Haven't heard any complaints from them, so.
Scientists aren't sure if roaches feel pain like humans do. We both have nerves, but roaches' brains are much smaller, so they probably don't remember pain. Sanchez brushes white out on the hard shell. It's like glue. He mounts a chip the size of a quarter, securing it to the roach's body with grafting tape.
So it's really just like a regular backpack. You just kind of fit around your arms.
This backpack syncs with his remote controller. He's ready to play, that is, direct the roach on the floor like a video game.
Usually if you stimulate both sides, it stops. So I got him to turn back.
Okay, coming to my feet.
Somehow in this well-lit laboratory, the roach is becoming less creepy. Its potential to go anywhere, collect audio and video in real time. I kind of want it on my team. Liang asks,
do you feel better about cockroaches right now? Less freaky?
Her question is actually a setup.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so maybe we can give it a try.
As in, let it crawl on me. Okay, I can do this, keeping my eyes closed. Sanchez takes the roach and puts it just above my wrist while his two professors, Liang and Vincent, hover over us.
All right, a little movement there.
I feel the prickly spines crawling, but then suddenly it stops responding to signals and nests in my forearm. Vincent says it could be the lights shining, the smell of human skin, all of us talking at once.
The environment is going to have a big effect on him, especially since he's been working out here for quite a while.
Liang and I want to keep trying. We suggest shutting off the lights to remove one variable. But Vincent and Sanchez say no. The roach has had a long day and deserves to rest. Aarti Shahani, NPR News, College Station.